The rest of the story. Whatever the archaeologists expected to find beneath that high altar in that ancient church, what they found instead were weapons. An arsenal of clubs and knives and spears and torches, the makings of war. Nothing like it had been found in Sweden thus far. Yet it was remarkably similar to discoveries made throughout the rest of the ancient West, a succession of revelations of hard evidence to support what anthropologists have been saying all along, that once upon a time, there was a ceremony steeped in violence and intrigue, a dark tradition of conspiracy and kidnapping, and unwilling women and unsympathetic men, a ceremony called marriage. This is the rest of the story. It was a terrible, interminable time throughout Europe and Scandinavia and the British Isles when women were property. Author, historian Charles Panatti writes that among the German Goths, a man married a woman from within his own community, but when women were in short supply, he captured his bride-to-be from a neighboring village, and sometimes the unfortunate girl had merely wandered too far from the safety of her parental home. Yet no sooner was she missed than her family would strike out in search of her abductors. For this reason, it was imperative that the wedding take place as soon as possible, preferably under cover of night. Often a small army was stationed around the church, and inside, armed and alert, a solitary sentry would stand guard while the ceremony proceeded. And so, the arsenal beneath the altar. Not only in churches of the Goths, but of the Visigoths and the Vandals and the Huns, so that upon the unwelcome arrival of the bride's family, they could be repelled effectively until the moment past which no man could put the union asunder. For you see, some traditions have survived from those dim, distant days when nothing that came willingly was worth having. Another example is the honeymoon. That was the month or the moon after the wedding, which served as kind of a cooling off period for the offended relatives of the bride. And the newlyweds, during that moon, were instructed to drink a ceremonial mixture of honey and whatnot while everybody's tempers subsided. And the custom of carrying the bride over the threshold, that was left over from the times when a bride was literally picked up and hauled to her new home, however unwillingly. And one thing more, and this relates to those weapons I told you that were stored in the church. They were to be used, if necessary, by the strongest and bravest of the groom's comrades. The one who in all likelihood accompanied him when he abducted his bride. The one who stood armed and alert throughout the wedding ceremony. Should somebody answer when the priest solicited objections? For you see, for every man about to be married, there had to be one friend among them all. One friend the groom could trust with such a responsibility. On whom he could depend should the festivities deteriorate into hand-to-hand combat. And when he chose one man, of course he chose the best man. And now you know the rest of the story.